Good evening, everybody. It's a blessing to be here at the house of the Lord, right? By the way, you can be turning in your Bible to Psalm 86 while we make our introductory remarks here. But I was looking back in my records, and the last time I preached at this pulpit was 13 years ago. Now, that must tell you something. That last message that I made was not too good. So I hear that they have me, Pastor Meter has me scheduled for December of the year 2047. That'll be 26 years from tonight. But it's a blessing to be here. And when Pastor asked me to be able to speak here, I had something really in mind that I wanted to preach on, and God just changed my mind and changed my thoughts in this whole thing to Psalm 86. I've read Psalm 86 before in the past, and it's just one of those psalms that's a gem. I mean, it's just so full of good truth. You can't exhaust it, and that's just one psalm. Friends, we have the Bible, which is full of it, full of just beautiful gems of truth. So tonight you get the scrubs. You know, Pastor Meter is the first string, and Pastor Donnie is the second string, and Brother Justin, you're the third string, and I'm the scrubs. But that's okay. It's God's word. All right. So Psalm 86. I'll read Psalm 86, and then we'll pray here. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Let's pray. Father, we are so blessed to be here at the house of God tonight, and just thank you, Lord, for your word that we can open up, full of truth, just a treasure chest of gems from the word of God that you've given us in your word. And Lord, we pray that tonight that you would speak to our hearts. May each of us get something, one thing at least, that they can apply to their lives and weave into the fabric of their daily living that will help them in their lives and their walk with you this night. And may you be glorified with us and in this time tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, we're at the end of 2021, and at the end of any given year, people usually make some resolutions, right? I'm not one for making resolutions. I believe in setting goals, but a lot of people make resolutions, and this message, I guess, would be how David resolved how he was going to take care of the issues that he had in his life. And named the title of the message, How to Deal with Life's Predicaments. Life's Predicaments. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you on how to deal with life's predicaments. The word predicament is defined as a particular state or a situation of life that you are in. A particular state or situation of life that you are in. A state of life in how you are in internally. Some people living in a state of confusion. You see that? You walk around and people are just living in a state of confusion. Some people are living in a state of fear. So that's internally. And then externally is the situation that you find yourself in. Am I in a comfortable situation? Am I in danger? Am I in, what is my situation in life? Both internally, your state, and externally, your situation. David had this very thing in his life, in his predicament that he had in his life. Psalm 86 is the whole psalm is a prayer. There are five psalms that have in the top of the psalm where it says a prayer of David or a prayer, Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. There are five psalms that are listed out with the subheading at the top as a prayer. All those psalms are Psalm 17, Psalm 86, and Psalm 142 by David, Psalm 90 by Moses, and Psalm 102 by someone who is called the afflicted. We don't know who that is, but you know, put your name in there. We all feel like we're the afflicted sometimes, too. David addresses also here in this psalm, this is really interesting, David addresses God in his prayer by three of God's names. You know, as you read the Bible, the names of God are important. And David lists and calls out unto God in three different of God's names. One of them, the name God, Elohim, that we find in the Bible, that stresses the fact that God is strong and that God is faithful. David also calls upon God by the name of the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, I should say, Jehovah, the self-existent God of the Bible, who is the covenant-keeping God of salvation. And then thirdly, David calls upon him as Lord, capital L, small O-R-D. That's the Hebrew word Adonai, which means master, master. So all three of these names he brings into his prayer before God, and there's a reason for that, because the perfect pattern of David's prayer here is when we pray that God, Elohim, the strong and faithful one, would deliver us, Jehovah, the God of deliverance and salvation, as we yield and submit to his present and future lordship, Adonai, of our lives. It's fascinating. As I was reading and studying this, and this was really great to come across. And the Bible says here that this is a prayer of David. This word prayer is one of the most commonly used words in the Old Testament for the word prayer. The word prayer. Jesus quoted this same word when he cleansed the temple in his life on this earth of the money changers. And he said, remember, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he used this same word, prayer, that David was referring to here as he quoted Isaiah chapter number 56. And that tells me, and here's a lesson. Hopefully we'll get some lessons out of this. Here's a lesson. The Bible, number one, is the best source book available on the subject of prayer. I have a lot of books in my library at home about prayer. But you know what? None of them matches what the Bible has to say about prayer. And so when you want to learn about prayer, go to the one who we pray to teach you on how to pray, and it's right from the Bible. Secondly here, of all the places where prayer ought to be preeminent, the house of God should top the list, right? Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So of all places that we should pray in the house of God as well as praying anywhere else. We've all heard read the command in God's word, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, I want to share a couple things here for you. Firstly, I'd like you to see David's predicament in his life. David's predicament. We look at the life of David and say, this guy lived a life of constant predicament. That's his whole life was just one of just constant, it seemed, predicaments in his life. And we see, firstly, remember, the definition of predicament is the particular state or situation in life that you find yourself in. Your internal state, how you are, or your external situation. Well, here's David's state, his internal state. Look at verse number one. And this state talks about David's frailties. Verse one, he says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor." First thing that David says is he says, "I am poor." This word means to be depressed or afflicted in circumstances, mind, or body. His circumstances affected his mind. Isn't that the way that it is in life? Your circumstances in life will affect your internal state and how you feel about things in life. It's no different with us than it was with David. He was a man that was of God, after God's own heart, but he had emotions too, and he had struggles in his life. So David's frailties, he was poor. The next thing in verse 1, it says, he says, "I'm needy." Word means destitute. David says, "I'm a destitute, needy person." You know, this time of year, a lot of times we think about people, especially in charitable organizations, we think about people that are hurting and that are needy. And that is certainly a right and a noble thing to do, to be thinking about people that are poor and needy. But this is talking about spiritually needy. David was needy. And we need to think of ourselves as spiritually needy before we can make progress in our prayer lives with the Lord. How needy are you of being able to get a hold of God in your prayers? I'm needy. I'm really needy. And I think if all of us are honest, we'd say we're needy. So David's state, he's a frail man. David's situation, look at verse number 7. He says, "In the day of my trouble, the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." Here's David's situation. He's in trouble. The word trouble means tightness, distress. It's like the whole world is closing in on you. It's that feeling that everything is closing in on you. That's what the word means when it says he's in trouble. And if anybody had the whole world closing in on him, we could see that in David's life, that he was a man that was understood what it was to be in trouble. Often, David's troubles and our troubles are caused by people. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? That our troubles in life are caused by people. Firstly, the person that you look at in the mirror in the morning is where the majority, I think, of our trouble happens. But people that we interact with, whether family, whether co-workers or whatever, just people that we're dealing with in the business world or whatever, we're caused by, they bring trouble sometimes to our lives. Note the type of people that David was, the people that were causing David trouble. Look at verse 14. He said, "O God, the proud are risen against me." Proud, this word means arrogant, wicked, inflated in pride. Proud people cause troubles that distress us. Beware of proud people and beware, my dear brethren, of your own pride. "Only by pride cometh contention," says Proverbs 13:10. And God still says in his word, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So David's troubles came from proud people. They also came, if you look in verse 14 again, it says, "O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men." David had troubles because he was dealing with violent men. This word violent, it means fearful, powerful, tyrannical, fierce, lawless individuals. These were the kind of people that David had trouble with in his life. and that he had to deal with. And if we really look back on David's life, we can catalog a lot of the trouble people he had to deal with. I think firstly of when he comes onto the scene, he has to deal with big time trouble in Goliath, does he not? And then the Philistines constantly as a nation that troubled Israel. And if that were not enough, then he had to deal with Saul, who was hunting him down to kill him. And then if that were not enough, the enemy nations that surrounded Israel were troublesome to David. If that wasn't enough, Absalom and Ahithophel troubled David so that he had to flee the city of Jerusalem. And if that wasn't enough, even when he was fleeing from the city of Jerusalem, a guy named Shimei was throwing rocks at him as he was leaving the area. So David had a lot of troubles in his life because of people. The lesson on that is violent people do exist, and we need to flee to our God for safety and protection from violent people. Thirdly, the trouble people that David had to deal with. Look at verse 17. Show me a token for good that they which hate me. David was dealing with proud people, violent people, and hateful people. People that hated him. This word hateful means the desire to have no contact with somebody. It's the absolute opposite of love. It would have been wonderful if all the nations and all the people would have loved David, but David instead was constantly dealing with hateful people that hated him. A great illustration of that we see in the Bible was Jesus was hated by the religious establishment of his day. And the apostles and all the godly believers down to us today who are hated by the world. The lesson on this is the hatred of the world for biblical Christianity is growing. This is part of our predicament that we have to deal with. So we see David's predicament. Secondly, I want to see here David's practice. It's one thing to be in a predicament, but it's another thing just to sit there and let the thing overwhelm you and overcome you. And David was determined that he was not going to do that. And what I mean by David's practice is he did something. He just didn't sit there and do nothing. He did something and took some action because of all this that was happening around him. And some of the things that David practiced that I found was interesting. Number one, David in the past sought to live a holy life. Look at verse 2. He said, preserve my soul, for I am holy. The lesson in that to me is that a cleansed and holy life, separated from sin and separated unto God, is essential in dealing with life's predicaments. 1 Peter 1:16 still tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. So David in the past sought to live a holy life. Look at verse 2. It says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. Thou, O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. David lived a holy life, and David lived a trusting life, a life that he was determined to trust the God of heaven. A life of faith is essential in dealing with life's predicaments. Hebrews 11:6, we all know it, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he lived a holy life, a trusting life, and then he sought to live a consistent life. Look at verse number 3. He said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee. How often does it say? Daily. He says, I cry unto thee daily. The lesson in that, walking with the Lord today is your best preparation for both your present and your future predicaments in life. Let me repeat that. Walking with God today is your best preparation for both present and future predicaments. I remember at college, I heard an old-time preacher say one day, he said, you will be what you are becoming right now. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know what? He's right about that. You will be in the future what you are becoming right now in your daily life, in your daily walk. And David was determined. In the past, he had lived a trusting and a consistent life. And also, we see that in the present, David was seeking to live a godly life. Verse 2, that word, it says, save thy servant that trusteth. One of the beautiful things, friends, about our King James Bible that you have is that those three letters at the end of that word, trusteth, means continual. Continual. He trusteth. And if it had just said, your servant that trusts in you, well, that could be one time. You could trust God one time. But David says here, trusteth. That means continues to trust in thee. He says in verse 3, I cry unto thee daily. He was presently praying to God daily. Verse 4, he says, I lift up, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. He was petitioning and worshiping his God daily, daily, in the present. The lesson on that I see is our past walk with God and our enjoyment of our past walk should motivate us to a present walk with God and to continue to walk with him today. Today. And then thirdly, David said, well, I'm going to do something about this. Here's my practice. I'm going to do something in the future. Look at verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Prayer was planned for David's future as he expected help and God's answers. Question is prayer a part of your plans for the future? It should be. Look at verse 11. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. That's future. Obedience to God's word was planned for David's future. Is it planned for our future? Verse 12, he said, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. Praise to God was planned for David's future. Is praise to God part of your plans for the future? It should be, and it should be my plans for the future. So we see David's practice. David's predicaments, he had these predicaments that he was dealing with, and David's practice. He just didn't sit by idly. He took action and wanted to do something, and so should we. And what he wanted to do and really focus on thirdly here was his David's prayer. David's prayer. This whole psalm is weaved in and out with prayers and with things that he said he was going to do and with praise. It's not very orderly, like you can't outline it or break it out by outline. It's just woven in between one another, back and forth, prayer, praise, his practice, his petitions. It's all woven together. Hey, only God can weave together such a beautiful portion of scripture like this. And David's prayer. And I want to look at some of the things that David asked here. We're going to scoot through them pretty quickly, but there's a number of different things he asked. And the lesson on this is ask specific, definite things from God, right? We need to ask specific, definite things from God. We know that. We've been taught that over the years, but we need to hear it again. Indefinite prayer, how can you gauge whether your prayer was ever answered if you are very indefinite in your prayers? But if you are very specific in your prayers, you can say, hey, God answered that specific prayer on that specific day. Listen, you don't go into a restaurant and say and order, give me some food. You tell the waitress or so forth, I want food. Is that what you do when you go into a restaurant? No, you look at the menu and you pick something very specifically off of that menu, and you order that accordingly. Well, I'm not saying that we're trying to go to a restaurant in our prayer before God, but in other things in life, we get down to specifics. And David said, "Hey, I got a predicament right now that I'm dealing with. I got to get down to specifics." Jesus still said, ask and it shall be given you, right? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. How about Philippians 4:6? great promise in God's word. You know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We got a Bible full of promises. Claim one of them. Grab hold of a promise from God's word, and he will prove himself true to answer those. Here's David's prayer requests. Firstly, number one, that God would answer his prayer. That God would answer his prayer. Verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. Verse number 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Attend to the voice of my supplications. David was really kind of just trying to get God's attention and say, listen, hear me. I got predicaments. I got violent, hateful, proud people that are after me. I need you. And he's trying to get, in a sense, trying to get a hold of God and God's attention. Hey, take heart in the fact that God does and can hear your prayers if your heart is right with him. This is one of the greatest incentives to be right, walk right, and stay right with God. That your prayers get answered. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be what? Done unto you. Proverbs 15:29 tells us that he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He hears the prayer of the righteous. What a great incentive to get right with God and stay right with God. The fact that God can continue to hear your prayers on a daily basis. So he wanted, firstly, God to hear his prayer. Secondly, in verse 2, it says here, he wants God to protect him. Verse 2, he says, preserve my soul. David says, preserve my soul. The word preserve means to hedge something about, to protect it, to keep it safe. It's almost like a picture of what the devil says to God about Job when he comes to God and he's trying to accuse Job. And he says to God, well, you've set a hedge about this man, Job. I can't get at him. You've set a protective hedge about him. This is what David is calling upon God to do, is preserve him or protect him. And there's a lesson in that. We shouldn't think we're so independent and self-confident that we don't need God's protection. Listen, David was a more courageous person than you and I will ever be. David faced things that you and I will never face, but he realized his need for God's protection. Therefore, ask for it. Ask for God's protection. We know we should, but we need to continue to ask for God's protection. Thirdly, David asked that God would deliver him. Deliver him. Look at verse 2. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Look at verse 16. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Save the son of thine handmaid. That word save is an interesting word. And the basic meaning of the word means to be open, wide, or free. Just the opposite of being closed in. It's open, wide, and free. And it's this word is the word that we get the name Jesus from, Yeshua. We get that name from this Hebrew word, save. Save. So he wanted God to save him. Well, in David's case, he was praying for God's deliverance from his personal predicament. And we can too. Matthew 6:13. We all know what the prayer is, where it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. Deliver us. Deliver us from thinking evil, speaking evil, doing evil, evil people, and lastly, the evil one." And we all know that Satan is the evil one that seeks to thwart God's work and affect our lives. So David was asking for deliverance. There's also a lesson in this that those who are without Jesus Christ can also pray to be rescued from the greatest predicament of all. Look at verse 13. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. There's the greatest predicament of the world and any person in the world, the lowest hell. And thank God that Jesus is the one who has delivered us from the lowest hell and can deliver all from the lowest hell who will call upon him. For whosoever, thank God, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So deliverance. He wanted God to deliver him. Fourthly, David wanted God to be merciful to him. Look at verse 3. He says, be merciful unto me, O Lord. Verse 16, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Mercy. This word mercy is a gem. This word is beautiful. And the basic meaning of this word is to bend down or stoop down to someone's level. To bend down. Isn't that what God is doing when he's showing compassion and mercy on us in our lives? I think it's been aptly said that grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, the wonders of salvation. But thank God, mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve, the judgment and the wrath of God, because we've put our trust and our faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy. He wanted God to be merciful to him. And the lesson in that is we need to ask God for his mercy and help in our lives. This whole concept of mercy has to do with dealing with the consequences of our sins. Not dealing with the judgment of our sins, but dealing with the evil fallout that happens as a result of our sins. It's God helping and stepping in to give mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. David fifthly asked God to bring joy to him. Look at verse 4. He said, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. That word rejoice means to brighten up, to be glad. The primary meaning is a smiling, cheery countenance, free from care. Wow, what a great concept. So little do we seem to experience it in our lives. But you know what? David said, in the midst of my predicaments, Lord, I need my heart rejoiced. I need some joy in my heart and my life. And guess what? Only God can bring joy to your life. He can bring joy to your life during trials. James 1:2. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Context there is temptations meaning testings. Testings of your life. God can bring joy when we have sinned and repented. Psalm 51:12. David said after he had confessed his sin to God, he said, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. The joy of my salvation. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, joy. Therefore, let's turn to him to rejoice our soul in these sorrowful days that we are living in this world. Of all people that can rejoice and have the ability to be able to rejoice through our God, it's believers in the Lord Jesus. So God would bring joy to him. Another thing is, look at verse 11. He wanted God to teach him his way. Verse 11, he said, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord. This word teach is it's a great word, and here's the best way to illustrate it. When I'm driving around with my wife and we're at a place where we're not familiar with it and we're looking for something, my wife has the uncanny ability to have her finger go right like that. She says, there it is right there. And it's pointing the finger just like that. That's what that word teach means. Literally, it means to point out as if aiming the finger. to guide, direct, or instruct in a right way or a right course of action. And David wanted God to direct his way, and God's way is found in his word. So we need God to teach us in our predicaments what God's word says about it and how to do it. And that's what David was asking here. Teach me thy way, in verse 11. I will walk in thy truth. Do you have a heart that wants to know what God's word says about your predicament? And once he does, are you willing to be obedient what God says to do about your predicament? Right? 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Hey, there's God's way right there. God's way is his word. And he tells us in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. David was willing to be a doer of the word. Seventh thing that God asked, that David asked God, he wanted God to unite his heart to fear his name. Look at verse 11 there. Unite my heart to fear thy name. This word unite means to be one, united, made one. Perfect example of it is the marriage relationship when a husband, a man and a woman become one in holy wedlock. United. They are united. And it is a good request to ask God to help your heart be united with one focus to live in the holy, reverent fear of God's person, nature, name, and word. Look what he says here. Unite my heart to fear thy name. The fear of God is sorely lacking in this world, sorely lacking in our country, and unfortunately, sorely lacking among some Christians. The fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And David says here that even though those who caused his troubles had no fear of God, that would not stop him from fearing God. He says, I want to be focused on fearing you. Romans 3:18 tells us there is no fear of God before their eyes, speaking of the unsaved. Hebrews 10:31 tells us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The respect and the fear of God Almighty, the holy respect. And he said, unite my heart to fear thy name. Person's name was representative of their nature, their character, their reputation. We need to respect and reverence and fear God's name, nature, works, and his words. Another thing that David asked, we're almost done here. Another thing that David said here is that God would give strength. Hey, do we need strength in our predicaments or not? We need strength desperately in our predicaments. Verse 16. He says, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant. Give thy strength unto thy servant. This word strength means prevailing strength by which victory is usually obtained. Wow, what a definition there. What a word that God uses in here of strength. The strength to be able to get victory through your particular predicament. David needed strength physically to continue to deal with his enemies, mentally to think clearly and biblically, emotionally to keep his emotions under control, and certainly spiritually to keep his heart right with God. Guess what? So do we. We need God's strength in these days. You cannot effectively deal with your predicaments in life in your own strength. You and I both need God's strength. Therefore, ask him for it. It's okay to ask him for it, is it not? Philippians 4:13 still in the Bible, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then the last thing that David asks God was that God would show him a token for good. Look at verse 17. Show me a token for good. This word token means a signal, a sign, an evidence. A token which brings to mind or shows or confirms anything. And David wanted God to show him a token or a sign just that God was working on his behalf. You know, and it's great to be able to see when God shows you tokens or proofs that he's on your side and he's working things out for you. Isn't that the greatest thing and the greatest blessing when you see that? We can ask God to show us tokens and proofs of his working on our behalf in the midst of our predicaments. When God does this, we are encouraged. And secondly, our enemies can see that God is with us and therefore against them and be ashamed. Look at the end of verse 17. Show me a token for good that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. And you know, I think God delights when we ask him to show us a token of his hand upon us. Malachi 3:10, he said to the Jews concerning tithing, he said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the face of the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. I think God delights in that. Because you know what? He'll always prove himself right, and he'll always prove himself strong. And he delights when people take him at his word and believe him and trust him and just do what he says. And David said, show me a token for good. So we see in here, David had a predicament, big time. David said, I'm going to do something about this. I'm not going to sit back and let this thing overwhelm me. And then he said, I'm going to focus in on calling upon my God in prayer, and I'm going to get down to brass tacks and ask some specific things in my prayer. So we see David's predicament, his practice, his prayer, and then throughout this whole psalm, and we're going to go through this very quickly, we see David's praise. David found time in the midst of all of his predicaments to praise God. Firstly, for who he is now, verse 5. Thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy upon all them that call upon thee. Verse 8. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto their works, thy works. He's unmatched by anyone in nature or works. Verse 10. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Verse 13. For great is thy mercy toward me. He repeats the fact that God is merciful again. Verse 15, full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy, plenteous in truth. David praised God for who he is now. Right? Secondly, he praised God for what he's done in the past. Look at verse 13. He says, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. You've proven and delivered me from the lowest hell in the past, verse 13. Verse 17, at the end of the verse, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me. That's another name for the word helped. God, you have helped me in the past. And he says also, you have comforted me in the past, at the end of verse 17. So he praised God for who he is now. He praised God for what he's done in the past. And then he praised God for what he's going to do in the future. Look at verse 7. He says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Now, if that isn't faith, I don't know what is. He firmly believed that God was going to answer his prayer. And then in verse 9, he praised God for the fact that God will receive worship and glory from all the nations. Verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Hey, in the midst of your predicaments in life, and in the midst of your practice of walking with the Lord, and the midst of your prayers unto God, don't forget to weave into all of that praise to God in the midst of that. Praise to God in the midst of that. And through that, God will help you and get you through your predicaments, won't he? How many times has he done it? We can look back at the past and come up against the Red Sea in our lives and say, how's the Red Sea going to part? And that's a real predicament in our lives, and we've all come through those. But you know what? David's example here in Psalm 86 is a great one. Practice walking with the Lord. Continue in prayer. And praise God. And if there was any goal that you were going to set in your life We ought to set a goal concerning our prayer life for this coming year. I try to do that each year, setting some goals with regard to my prayer life and so forth, but it's just a great, great way, God's way in dealing with predicaments. And may He bless us this year as we seek to walk with Him and serve Him and work through the predicaments that we will face this year. We will. You will face them. I will face them. And how to deal with them, God gives it to us in His Word. Let's pray here. Father, we are so grateful now for Your Word and the example in Your Word of a man that went through greater predicaments than we will ever come across and how he dealt with them biblically in his life. And Lord, may our hearts be instructed from this. Lord, may we be determined to be obedient to you and to call upon you and to seek relief and your help in this coming year through the predicaments that we're going to be going through and the trials that we will be going through in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we give you the praise for it. We thank you. David praised you. Your word praises you. And Lord, this night we praise you in advance right now for how you're going to bless and how you're going to help us in our lives. For we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.